Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than Luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
All right, we are back with a new episode of Talking Metal. I know I said I wasn't going to do one this week because I am in the middle of a move, and that is absolutely true. It's been totally chaotic. I don't even have my computer set up yet. So we usually do these every Tuesday. I had said I was going to take this week off and not post an episode on Tuesday, but here it is, a few days late, Thursday of this week, I am posting an episode for you guys, and that's because really one reason. A&E, the great television network, is premiering a four-hour documentary on KISS, which premieres June 27th. Let's see, that is what? This Sunday on A&E. Cannot wait, guys. And I guess part two then on Monday the 28th. It is going to be awesome. I cannot wait to see this. My favorite band on one of my favorite television stations. Oh, yeah. KISS and A&E. So before we get into this, let's thank the patrons, but not all of them. Just a general thanks today, because like I said, I'm in the middle of moving. My computer's not even set up yet. I don't have the list of all 51 of you in front of me, but believe me, you are the support of this show. You guys rock. And I can't thank you enough for your support. All right, let's get into the episode. All right. So again, this Sunday evening, June 27th, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, is when the two-hour first of two episodes premieres on A&E. It is Biography KISS, and we are going to talk with the guy behind that today, DJ Viola. Again, just a quick episode. I wasn't planning on doing an episode this week, but we had to because of this amazing documentary that we wanted you guys to know about. So everyone knows my favorite band is KISS and probably Iron Maiden, if I had to rank my two top favorite bands of all time. But you know what band I love? Not metal, the Eagles. They just bought tickets to see them at Madison Square Garden. I cannot wait for that. August 22nd, the day after Emily's birthday. Completely psyched for that. I know Glenn Frey's dead. Don Felder isn't in the band, but it sounds like it's still an amazing show. We got Joe Walsh, Don Henley, and some really strong talent backing them up. So it should be awesome. Cannot wait for that. That will probably be my re-entry into concerts again. I know some of you guys are getting started earlier, but after that, of course, I have Megadeth and hope to see Pearl Jam, Billy Idol, Smashing Pumpkins down on the Jersey Shore in September. We have other stuff coming up. Judas Priest, I think, is coming around. I'm hopeful to go see that. So a lot of great stuff coming up this year, that is, the 2021 year, 2021. Hope everyone's got their vaccine and are ready to rock again, because I sure as hell am. And I'm going to do it this Sunday night when I watch the KISS biography on A&E. Let's hit just a couple quick headlines on Brave Words. And if I sound echoey, it's because I'm sitting in my house and we still haven't adjusted the furniture. And it's a big, big room, different setup here. Like in the new house, but we moved in. The old owners left us. One of the old owners, one of the old occupants didn't vacate the house. He's still here. He's a skunk and he's living under our deck outside. So yeah, always surprises when you move into a new house. So quick look at the headlines on Brave Words. Photographer Mark Weiss, Wise Guy Weiss, announces Weiss Fest 2021 featuring special performances by Keith Roth, Carmine Appice, Jerry Gaskill, Bumblefoot, and others. And we just bought one of his photos that we're going to hang in the new house. It's a picture of Lemmy. Emily got it for me for Father's Day. How cool is that? So, man, I cannot wait to check this out. This is up on bravewords.com. I got to tell Emily about this right now. This is happening like immediately this Thursday. Oh, I don't know if we're going to make that, but very, very cool to see Mark is out there rocking it. Cannot wait to see him again in person. What else do we have up on Brave Words, one of my favorite websites? Killing Joke has announced their first UK tour in over 3 years. What a great time to do a tour for a band like Killing Joke who hasn't done it for a while. That's a band I would totally love to see. Let's see, they are playing in the UK in March and April of 2022. So, wow. Hopefully our listeners over there will get to check out the great Killing Joke. And what about 90s era Killing Joke? A lot of people don't talk about that. I love that era of the band. Definitely a different sound, but good stuff. And up on Brave Words, Dizzy Reed announced 10 records that changed his life. Let's read them down quickly. Booker T and the MGs, Soul Limbo from 1968. Wasp, the self-titled 1984 record. That's interesting. Led Zeppelin, Physical Graffiti from 1975. And Brave Words links over to classic rock for this list, by the way. Queen, News of the World from 1977. The Who, Who's Next. Wow, that's a great record. Love that record. The Clash, London Calling from 79. These are all great records. Metallica, Kill 'Em All from 1983. Hanoi Rocks, Two Steps from the Move from 1984. Leonard Skinner, One More from the Road from 1976. Skinner's coming around again. What is it? One original member? I don't know. I watched a concert of theirs on TV and I didn't think it sounded all that great. But they're one of my favorite bands from when I was a kid, man. And I love that live record, One More from the Road. One of my favorite live records after Kiss Alive, for sure, is One More from the Road by Leonard Skinner. Great, great record. Dizzy Reed continues on with some of his other favorite records, The Rolling Stones, Exile on Main Street, Sticky Fingers, and Get Your Yay Yays Out. There you go, four Stones records. And that's it. Was that 10? I guess that was 10. All right, cool. Three of the 10 being Rolling Stones albums. So there we go. A little rock news for you, a little just chatter before our interview here with DJ. But enough of that. Let's get into the interview with DJ right now. Hey, it's Mark Striegel of Talking Metal. And on the line, we have DJ Viola, who has worked on the new Kiss biography, which I am so excited to see. It premieres June 27th at 9 p.m. And it's a four-hour two-parter. Just very excited for this, DJ. I wanted to talk to you as a Kiss fan and want to hear how you got involved with this. How did this all come about?
The movie was actually kind of already underway when I got involved. I had come on sort of tangentially as a producer because I had directed three other films for the EP, Leslie Greif, who also did the Simmons Family Jewels.
Gene
Simmons,
right, Family, okay, Jewels.
So he's been close to the band forever. I've been friends with Paul for many years because we live in LA and kids make weird friendships, you know? So,
right.
Yeah, but nonetheless, I was kind of floating around the project. And then when they started, it started with a couple different people involved and it just, the ship wasn't quite sort of taking a course. And at that point I took a more active role and that was over a year ago. And at that point it was only a 90-minute A&E special. And then as we started to dig in, it's like, we got 48 years to cover here, fellas. Like, this turned into a 3-hour, and then it might as well have been an 8-hour. You know, it's just like, there's a life, you know, lived loud here. There's a lot of stories here to call. But ultimately, I think the three feels exactly right for you to get a good sense of, you know, not only what they did, but who these guys are and why they did it.
Right on. And what were your initial feelings when this landed on your lap? Is it a feeling of being overwhelmed? Because as you mentioned, it is 48 years. And I mean, there's a lot there. So what were some of your initial feelings to approach?
Yeah, I think a lot of first off, it's an honor, right? I mean, to be tasked to string this together for them is an absolute honor. It's a privilege, but it's also, it's not just for the band, it's for the fans. It's for the, you know, the non-fan, the minor fans to the biggest fans. And that's where the intimidation could have easily set in. Cause you're just like, I will never be, you know, no matter how much I do day in and day out on these guys, there's still someone who's going to hit me on the internet to be like, well, actually in January, you know. And so we were as specific as we could be. So diving into this, what I really focused on was not the Wikipedia aspects of what happened. You have to tell that story. You have to give it context. But I kept driving for why. I kept wanting to know how these guys felt about these situations. What, you know, what happened is because of what was going on. So every time I would interview these guys who have been interviewed, you know, a gajillion times about these same stories, and anytime I would hear them talking on a script that I had heard before, I would stop them and say, guys, like, how did you feel there? You know? And at first it's pretty like, don't interrupt me, I'm Gene Simmons. Pretty soon it's, you know, pretty soon then it's delightful. It's like, but I want to know how you're feeling, you know? And as we got into that, the movie started to take shape about what it was really, who they are. And for as much as Kiss is a, you know, rock and roll celebration, you know, rock and roll night celebratory band, they're also about self-empowerment. And so to understand the obstacles they had to overcome each step of the way started to really make, I think, this movie a well-rounded version of what Kiss is, and hopefully brings an insight rather than just a detail of every single, you know, step of the way. And I think that in and of itself is really where I started to lean into is, who are these people? And I think that is the specialty or the specialness of this movie.
Awesome. Awesome. And as a Kiss fan, a lot of us are just an enormous fan of their entire career, but there was a 13-year period where they actually took the makeup off, and they were in a lot of ways a different band. I mean, they weren't really playing that many hits from the 70s in the set list in the 1980s, and there were different members that came in. Of course, there was no makeup on their face anymore. This era of the band, in a lot of ways, gets ignored, and sometimes we don't have a lot of people reporting on this era of the band. But in this documentary, I'm 4 hours. Is there time spent on this era of the band?
Absolutely, I spent a fair amount of time in that night too. I think it's one of the reasons why a lot of people are really liking night two is its stories that they either haven't heard that often or have never heard before. You know, one of the comments Paul had after watching the whole thing in its entirety is that, you know, people have never seen my band like this before. And so he was really moved by, you know, the objectivity, but also the sensitivity to who they are. And I think they ended up, you know, sharing a lot. And when you see the makeup coming off, it literally begins the moment after Paul goes and has his ear fixed. So you can easily psychoanalyze the fact that once he felt confident with his image, he was comfortable going out in the world. And until then, he wasn't. So you get a sense of that. So it's not just, let's go compete with the other bands or people are getting tired of our look. It's also a personal choice to be like, I now have released some of that insecurity. So let me see how we do out there. And then in that journey, you start to realize how much more important the makeup was ultimately to Gene. Because his persona of the demon is who he's been when he's on stage. He's Gene Simmons and he's the demon. And there's not a lot of crossover. Paul's a little bit more star child, you know, by day.
Right.
Gene
right.
transforms. And so that's where then they started to, you know, Gene started to wander because it was like, I can't quite find my footing here. And so we cover that pretty heavily in this doc.
Awesome. And how long did it take you to gain their trust as a filmmaker? Did you have that right away, or did it take some time of them kind of being, all right, this, we got to kind of let DJ do his thing, or was there a big involvement from them?
It was more of, I mean, again, they get interviewed constantly, you know? So there was never any, like, there was a whole lot of like, show me, you know, we'll give you what you're asking for, but you know, I hope you're everything you're supposed to be on this. And so there wasn't that much like, they weren't too guarded when we began. Again, I had to break them of the script, but they were pretty open to trying to get the story out. As cuts started to come in, everything warmed up. And then the conversations got a lot more personal. You know, it got a lot more into what I kept continuing to mine for, but also personally back, you know, like as when you're getting texts from Gene Simmons on a Saturday about something he just watched on television, you're realizing like you've now got a friendship in here. And that friendship is because you're honoring them as who they authentically are. And so to that degree, that's where the growth came. But at first it was certainly I hope this is heading in the right direction. Cause if it's not, we're not going to show it, you know, like they don't need to say yes to anything, which is an amazing, but I hope we all find ourselves in that position later in life. So.
Right on. And again, we are talking with DJ Viola about the upcoming Kiss documentary. It's an A&E biography. It's going to be on June 27th and 28th, two parts, 4 hours, 2 hours each night, starting at 9 p.m. I cannot wait to see this. Who else is interviewed for the documentary besides the obvious Paul Stanley and Gene Simmons?
Yeah, I mean, we have Bob Ezrin, you know, obviously is pretty well represented there. Eddie Kramer, you know, talking about some of their quintessential albums. We've got Doc McGee in there. Probably more interestingly, we've got Dave Grohl, we've got Tom Morello, nice. Which I think is some of the most exciting things about the movie is to see other heroes be in awe of these guys. You know, they have such respect for the pioneers of rock and roll, theatrics of rock and roll, showmanship, you know. So they never once in the interview did they rest back as rock stars themselves. They remained fanboys. And that was one of the most intoxicating parts of interviewing those guys is that even when, you know, the cameras were shut off, they had questions like you, you know, you know, just wanting to know more about these guys on a personal level. And so that was also like, you know, inspiring to be like, we have to continue to push the personalities here because that's what people want to know. You know, these are their heroes and let's not tear them down. Let's just open them up. And so that was a fun part.
Right. And is it fair to say that this is a documentary and a show that non-KISS fans could enjoy?
Yeah, 100%. You know, I really tried to study what KISS audiences, why KISS is important to the audience and then understand why KISS is important to new audiences. And the design of the film is meant to feel like it was made by KISS. The movie is shaped like a KISS album. It's shaped like a KISS show. You know, we explode, they fall from the sky and with a big explosive intro. And then every story are mini chapters. And so it's not a long tail where I can introduce something and 60 minutes later, I can pay that thing off. KISS songs are 4 minutes of in your face rock and roll. And so I do a lot of conflict resolution, that in totality, you get the full journey and you get the insight. But each one of those things feels more like a KISS song where it screams by. It is a fast documentary. You know, you cannot believe how long you've actually been sitting there because it's just more and more and more. There's a quote in there from a clip where a journalist had asked Paul, you know, what's the most important part of a KISS show? You know, is it the music or the theatrics? And he said, the audience. And he said, well, how do you want the audience to feel? And he said, exhausted. Yeah. I want you at the end of this doc to be like, oh, that was a movie, you know? So it was always keeping that in mind. This has to feel like KISS made this. And so I think if it's your first, you know, KISS movie or your 15th, I think you're going to enjoy it because it's different, it's accessible, but it's also KISS.
Right on. And I do want to come back to Kiss, but as far as you go, DJ, what other documentaries, what other productions have you worked on? What's some of your history?
Yeah, I mean, I've been in the scripted space lately, but prior to that, I mean, I was on tour with Eminem for 6 years. And so that's really where I cut my teeth in the rock doc space. And then did a bunch of other Interscope stuff, like Making the Pussycat Dolls. And then I've done some other, you know, rando docs, faith-based stuff. I've done a fantasy football doc. But ultimately, Eminem and Kiss were kind of the most parallel for me because, again, I did my best to meet fans in both of those realms to understand why the band was important to them. I know it's important to me, but let me get a sense of a wider net of what is happening, you know, inside the fans, you know, hearts and minds. And what you find is that these guys have nailed a time period in people's lives, a time period of growth, a time period of sort of the end of adolescence, the beginning of adulthood, when self-empowerment is key. It's celebration of life and self-empowerment. And there's no victim, you know, in any of their lyrics. It is always, you got to stand up, you know, you got to pull yourself up and you got to have fun. And so I think when you go to a Kiss show and you see that it spans, you know, from 15 to 65, like everyone finds them at the same age and stays with them. And so that for me was really trying to understand, you know, again, how does Kiss speak for those that have, you know, that can't speak that or want to go speak that show after show after show.
Right on. And I know earlier you shared a moment where Gene was texting you. Is there any other behind the scenes, maybe intimate moments you could share that you experienced with Paul and or Gene?
Yeah, I mean, these guys, we would do long interviews. And so especially when they got into, you know, more intimate settings like, you know, Paul's house, you can't help but laugh at like the life still going on out around the camera. And so when Paul's dogs run in, or his kids are, you know, practicing dance in the other room and he has to shout to calm them down, like there's still life happening. And it's those moments, you know, Shannon is sitting just off, you know, screen, making faces at Gene and laughing at him when he talks about certain things, like to see the how comfortable they were and to see them in their regular lives, I also think helped open them up to again, not be Demon and Star Child interviews, but simply be, you know, Paul and Gene. And so that was the kind of, you know, access and behind the scenes that was just so much fun that the crew would just talk about incessantly as we walked out of those things, like, holy crap. I mean, there was a moment where Paul, I have it at the beginning of night two, but it's only one song. He picked up his Fractured Mirror guitar and did a, I don't know, probably a 3-4-5 minute medley. And it was,
wow,
it's four of us in the room and he is full volume, just destroying this guitar. And we're just, I mean, it was, you had chills. You couldn't believe the specialness of this moment. That I wanted it just to be like the entire credit sequence of the movie.
Right.
We ran out of time, you know?
Right on. And they are about to resume or soon to resume the End of the Road tour, which we're told is the final Kiss tour. Do you believe this is the final Kiss tour?
For Paul and Gene, yes. I think Gene always says, you know, if we were sitting with on stools with sneakers and jeans and t-shirts, we could do this until our dying day. You know, it is such a physically exhaustive show. I mean, there was a sequence I had to clip, which was them going through their injuries. And it sounds like ex-football players, you know, it's hips and shoulders and biceps. I mean, these guys have been just battering their bodies for years and years and years. So I suspect this is it. It's the biggest show you've ever seen. I think it's the biggest show that'll ever be put on, truthfully. I think it's because everything's going to end up being holograms or LEDs, or I don't know how the fire marshal ever approves this show.
Right.
It is so massive that I suspect they're done. What'll be interesting is to see if, as we sort of make a pitch for in the movie, when the personas carry on, you know, as Tommy stepped into Ace, as Eric stepped into Catman, can people step into Demon and Star Child? And can the next generation continue to experience Kiss shows? I think that I haven't heard much discussion on that, but you can kind of feel that there isn't necessarily a reason to end this. If people still want to go see a Broadway show, they don't need the same, you know, performers in it. So it might be interesting to see if this transcends that. Whereas, you know, I don't think any other band could ever pull that off, you know?
Right on, right on. And again, the Kiss biography airs on A&E June 27th and 28th at 9 p.m. We will have all the info you need, guys, up in the show notes. We are talking with DJ Viola. You're credited as the director, right, of it?
Yes.
Great. Well, it's been great chatting with you. We cannot wait to see this as Kiss fans. And I guess my last question is, we've heard rumblings that there could be a scripted story told of Kiss on the screen. You said you've done scripted stuff. Are you involved with that at all? Or is that something you can comment on?
Currently not. I hope they call me. I'm aware of it. You know, we had a little bit of a title battle between them, but I mean, honestly, I hope it gets made. I think that's another like beautiful angle that is due for this band. So I'd love to be involved in it if anyone's listening, but currently I think it's still just, I think it's in the pitch phase, and I think it's catching some traction. So I think I feel like it's going to happen. You never know in Hollywood.
We will see. And again, the Kiss biography, June 27th at 9 p.m. is when it premieres. We can't wait. DJ, thank you so much.
Thank you, Mark. Real pleasure talking to you. I hope you enjoy the movie. I think you will.
Hey guys, remember to watch Kiss, the Kiss biography on A&E. Big thanks to DJ for joining me and to Jordan at A&E for hooking up that interview. I'm actually working at A&E right now, so in a totally different department, nothing to do with the Kiss biography. But proud to be an employee of them for the time being, at least for the next few months. You know, I work in TV, so you're not usually at places like super long term, but I like it there, man. I hope I can stay on there for a while. But you guys know my side hustle here is always Talking Metal. I love it. I love it. Support me on Patreon. We got to get more people. It really slowed down. You know, we were just gaining people left and right. Like what were we at like a year ago? 20, maybe 25 supporters on Patreon. Now we're at 51. But it then is just slowed down to a snail's crawl with people adding people on Patreon. So I'd really like to encourage you to support me. For just $2 a month gets you a bonus podcast. $5 a month gets you that bonus podcast plus a t-shirt. Also a big shout out to Hank at Dash Vodka. My favorite vodka is Dash Vodka. Be sure to check it out. Be sure to drink it. And that'll do it, guys. We'll talk to you hopefully this coming Tuesday. So in just a few days, you'll have another podcast. Cool. Later.